Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast, the last week before the playoffs for most people. For us it is. We probably will have a bye. In my other league, I don't have a bye, but it is playoff week next week. One league did start this week for the playoffs. I didn't make the playoffs in that one, though, because I had a million injuries. But whatever. So, reviewing the week, we're going to go over everything. Now, as we usually start real quick, we did a draft right before the show. Brandon's going to run us through that. But before we do that, just as we always say, if you don't already play on draft, you should. We have best ball drafts for NFL, which is pretty much like a set it and forget it league. Hopefully, eventually, they make their way over for NHL. They're really fun. No trades, no waivers, nothing like that. But then for hockey, also, we built the scoring. It's a lot of fun. Today's slate is crazy. There's a ton of forwards. It was so hard to do our draft. But if you want to join, you can go to draft.com or search for draft in your app store. And when you sign up, use the promo code FHP and you'll get a free $3 ticket and a $100 money back guarantee when you make your first deposit. So Brandon's going to run us through our teams real quick, and then we'll get into the actual chunk of the show.
Yep. So I actually took Ryan Getzlaf at home against Columbus first overall, which I think surprised Gambia
so
a bit.
So ballsy.
And then you took Marchessault and Seth Jones.
Yep.
So I followed up with Barkov and Blake Wheeler. And then you countered that with Taylor Hall and Nathan MacKinnon. And then I took Bufflin and Hellebuck, and then you took Fleury at the end.
Yep. Fleury was my number one choice, so I'm glad I got him.
Yeah, I figured he was. But I don't know. There's a lot of good options tonight, so it's kind of a toss-up.
It's still funny how I knew that you were going to go Barkov and Wheeler. I kind of wanted Wheeler, but I didn't want to give up that first defenseman choice because I did think that Seth Jones was the best option. But it's funny how it's so deep, and I still know exactly who the hell you're going to take.
I was not going to take Seth Jones, though, so.
No, I know. I knew that, too. When I picked him, I was like, he wasn't going to take Seth Jones. So it was kind of a moot point. I knew you'd want someone else like Bufflin or Ristolainen or something. Okay, so moving on from that, let's start by reviewing the week, and we'll do the week's best
promo
players.
Promo code FHP.
Yes. Wait, I think I said that, didn't I?
Maybe. I don't know.
There you go, but you
did
screamed
you?
It. I did it. I think I did.
Yeah.
It's okay. Why not yell it twice?
Promo code FHP. It makes us look like we'd help the company when we do this, which we don't, but.
But it's okay. We do it from home anyway, so it's fine. Moving on to week's best players and reviewing the week, I'll start with a new New York Ranger, Ryan Spooner. 3 games played, 6 assists, a +2, 1 power play point, 4... What? Oh, shots on goal. I put SPG, and I was like, what does that mean? 4 shots on goal, 5 hits, and 1 block. Peripherals are garbage, just like they used to be in Boston, but he gets points. So right now, he's looking good. Tyler Toffoli as well has been on fire. 4 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, a +2, 2 power play points, 19 shots on goal, 9 hits, and 1 block. That's nuts. I mean, the reason I've said this a lot of times, the reason I went Tyler Toffoli over Ricard Raquel, in that trade I did a long time ago was because, one, I make mistakes, but I was betting very, very high on Toffoli being reunited with Carter come fantasy hockey playoff time. And so far, it's panning out. We'll see how it works out in the playoffs, but so far, I'm very, very happy with that choice.
His power play points didn't come from Carter. They play on different power play lines.
No, and I'm okay with that. That's fine. I actually think I like that second power play. Moving on, Mikael Granlund, 4 games played, 4 goals, 4 assists, a +6, 2 PIMs, 1 power play point, a whopping 23 shots on goal, and 7 blocks to boot. Crazy week from all the Wild, honestly. But Mikael Granlund really surprised me. Kind of came out of nowhere there. And lastly, in net, Pekka Rinne, 3 games played, 2 wins, 7 goals against, 2.33 goals against average, and a .931 save percentage. Not a bad week out of him. He's incredible.
Yep. Also, have a Daniel Sedin, who's talk about coming out of nowhere. I kind of didn't realize what a hot streak he's on, but 4 games played, 5 goals, 2 assists, 2 PIMs, 12 shots, 1 game winner, and 3 power play points. Now, this sounds like Daniel Sedin from 3 seasons ago.
Yep.
I still don't really think he's worth rostering, although, in deep leagues probably, but he did get picked up in our league, and the guy already got a golden assist off of him, but I just don't think he's in the position to really rack him up, so... Anyway, take that for what it is.
Yep.
Next up, Mitch Marner. I'm mostly putting him on here because there was that stretch in midseason where it really seemed like Marner was a total bust. I actually wound up picking him up off of waivers and then trading him to Gamby later on in a package that involved, I think it was Marner and Barkov for Simmons and Price.
Yeah.
Definitely lost that trade, but Simmons filled the gap for me a little bit as I needed pims and hits, and I was willing to give up points for it.
Yep.
And Marner still was not quite as
Marner was
as good
garbage
at that, point.
At that time. I bought really low on Marner. But you picked him up off waivers, so...
I picked him up off waivers, and then he heated up for a while, and then he went cold again.
Yep.
And I traded him during that because there was a couple pieces to that. Let me slightly diverge. Toronto only gets two starts in our semis, and I knew that. And I wanted to kind of limit my Toronto exposure because I had him and Riley and I think somebody else at that point. I might have... No, I didn't have Garner. Maybe I just had the two of them, but either way, I didn't want two Maple Leafs. Anyway, so then Brock Besser, last up here, 4 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, plus 1, 17 shots, 1 power play point, and 2 hits. There's a stretch there where he seemed like he was kind of falling off a little bit, but good to see him putting back together.
Yep, he's looking really good recently. I mean, the return of Horvat looks really good, too, or that's helping him out. For week's worst players, I'll start with an obvious choice in Jake Allen. 3 games played, 3 losses, 4.72 goals against average, and an 8.43 save percentage. I'm very, very close to dropping him right now. The only reason I haven't is because we have a bye week next week, and so I don't really want to just drop him for nothing. I want to give him at least a week to see if he rebounds, since I don't have to play anybody next week, but I'm very, very close to dropping him. Tyler Myers as well, terrible week. Did you know this guy is 70-plus percent owned?
Yep, he had a pretty good season up until recently.
I had no clue he was that highly owned. That's nuts.
I picked him up during his hot spree, and then I dropped him later on.
I do remember that. I think that's why I was so surprised. He's like, oh, well, if you can just like pick him up off the waivers, like, you know, he's probably whatever. But yeah, 3 games played, -3, 2 shots on goal, 4 hits, 5 blocks, just not a lot there. Those shots on goal, especially disappointing. And then Jonathan Toews, someone who I called out Wednesday as droppable. Actually, that was my hot take of the week. 3 games played, -2, and 8 shots on goal. Shots on goal as usual, fine, but not really doing much with them. And lastly, one of your boys, the guy who will eventually, the future Montreal Canadian, or New York Ranger.
Yeah, at this point, I assume he must be leaving.
Yeah, or New York Ranger, who knows.
Right. Well, actually.
I'm going to say the name, John Tavares. I've read that there is actually an interesting path to John Tavares ending up as a Ranger. There is a very
free agency.
Free agency, but there's an interesting path as to why and everything. It would be interesting. I would love him on the Rangers, but 2 games played, -2, 3 shots on goal. Shocking. Only 3 shots on goal and 1 block. What's even more shocking is his time on ice. It's fallen to 17 minutes and 51 seconds. That's less than Barzal. So,
yeah.
He
has not been looking good on the ice lately.
He hasn't. Although, part of me also is wondering, like, if you see his body language, it doesn't look like Tavares of old.
Like, nope.
It doesn't scream the Tavares that I knew and loved a season ago. Like, it looks like a checked out, I'm done with this Tavares, kind of. Like, he plays every game like he used to last year when they were losing by quite a bit, and he was just, like, done. He just didn't care. But
yeah,
I don't know.
What's weird is they decided to put Tanner Fritz on the top line last game.
Yeah.
We'll
see.
Whatever. All right. For me, Colton Parayko first up here. 4 games played, 1 assist, -6, 2 pims, only 4 shots, 4 hits, and 8 blocks. So the hits and blocks are fine, but everything else is really bad. I'm just going to pick on defensemen for a little bit here. Alec Martinez next up. He was drafted quite a bit. I think he was drafted in our league, too. And he's still at, like, 30% ownership. I don't know why. He's been bad all season. 4 games played, no points, +2, 2 pims, 3 shots, 3 hits, and 5 blocks. Nothing going on there at all.
Yep.
Next up, another defenseman, Mikhail Sergachev. 4 games played, no points, +1, 6 shots, 5 hits, and a block, and he's 71% owned. Guys, this is going to get worse when McDonough comes back.
Yeah. Way worse.
Which I'm not sure when that is, but I think it's pretty soon.
Yeah.
And then lastly here, Matt Zuccarello. 3 games played, no points, -2, 3 shots, 1 hit, and 3 blocks.
Down to the third line.
Droppable. Yeah, he's unfortunately, that's just it for him, I think.
Yeah. And I think this is more just also probably the Rangers saying, look, we're going to give chances to the guys who are going to be here next year. And there's no reason to, you know, be playing Zook in those positions that Buchnevich should be playing in or something.
Yep.
Yeah. So moving on to the weekend pickup suggestions, we'll start by kind of going over the teams and their schedules. Before, usually we start with the teams with good matchups and bad matchups, but I think before that, I'll say the teams that play only one game, just because I think that's a little bit relevant at the beginning. Arizona, Boston, Dallas, Edmonton, the Kings, Pittsburgh, San Jose, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Vancouver, and Washington all play only one game this weekend. So that's 12 of the 31. And then for teams with good matchups, before you take us through the bad ones, Anaheim plays versus Columbus, who's tired, and then versus Chicago. Not back-to-back or anything. That's a pretty good matchup for them. Minnesota has a pretty easy schedule at Colorado in a back-to-back, and then versus Detroit. And then Nashville has perhaps one of the easiest. No, Winnipeg. I think the Golden Knights and Winnipeg have the easiest schedules. But Nashville has a good one at Vancouver and then at Colorado. And the Vancouver one is a back-to-back. They'll probably play UC Saros on that one tonight. The Golden Knights play versus Ottawa and then at the Devils Friday, Sunday. And then Winnipeg.
Devils aren't that easy, but yeah.
No, they're not that easy. But
Winnipeg probably has the easiest one.
Winnipeg has easily the easiest one. Versus Detroit and then at Carolina. I don't think I'd be scared of that at all if I were the Winnipeg Jets.
I also like Anaheim's quite a bit, though, mostly because the Blue Jackets are tired and they've been, like, up and down. So, I mean, they're going to have to play. They're either going to play a tired Wait, did they play Bobrovsky?
No, yesterday? They didn't play Bobrovsky yesterday. They played Korpisalo. That's the only reason I don't like that as much.
Yeah. I mean, they still have a tired defense behind them, though.
Yep, that's true.
And they have to travel.
Yep. So.
And then Chicago's. Man, what happened?
They're
anyway.
Terrible.
As far as bad matchups, we've got Carolina back-to-back versus Jersey, who's also tired. So this is like a sludge matchup where both teams are tired. And then versus Winnipeg on Sunday. Then we've got Chicago at the Kings and then back-to-back at Anaheim. So traveling and tired. Oh, man. So that means that Anaheim is dealing with two tired teams. That's cool. And then I like that because I have Getzlaf and Perry and Gibson. Then we've got Chicago. I just said that. And then Detroit at Winnipeg at Minnesota. Everybody's rested for both of those games, but still not easy. Montreal then has at the Islanders and then back-to-back at Boston. Boston will be rested for that, so bad news for Montreal. And then last up, we have Philadelphia at Tampa Bay and then at Florida back-to-back. Florida will be rested for that one, so, yeah, not a great weekend for Philadelphia.
Yep. That's going to be a really tough schedule for Philly. I mean, at least, I guess Mrazek has been looking good, so at least they have that figured out. But still, it's not. That's a tough matchup. Florida's looking really, really good. Better than almost anybody else. Moving on to the suggestions on who you should pick up with that info. I'll start with David Krejci, who's 24% owned. He's on fire recently. He was streaky all season, but I'd argue that now he has significantly better line mates and they shouldn't be shuffling those as much anymore. And Rick Nash is on one side and you've got Jake DeBrusk on the other. I love that line. So because of that, I do think David Krejci is interesting. Now, they only have one game this weekend, but if you're in a position to maybe hedge your bets, David Krejci is an interesting one going into the playoffs. Next up, Paul Stastny, 34% owned. Fantastic schedule this weekend, as we said. And I think he's going to be really good with the Jets. I've said this a lot of times now since the trade deadline, but he's looked good. He looked good in his one game. But I like
the fact
his line.
He's only 34% owned seems like a mistake, honestly. Yeah. With Line A and Ehlers and getting power play time, maybe not top power play, but their second power play is not bad.
No, it's not a bad second power play at all.
Yeah, his ownership, I will be very surprised if, well, I mean, it's playoffs, so less people making moves, but His ownership should go above 50% by the end of the season if people are paying attention.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially with those line mates. Now, sticking in Winnipeg, I'm going to go to two guys who were for very deep leagues. This one for the deepest of leagues, Jack Roslovic, something. I don't know how to say that, but he's 1% owned, so pretty much available in every league. Second line, but no power play for now. He's playing with Perreault and Little. He has 8 points in 11 games played. Not great peripherals, and that's honestly an understatement. He barely shoots the puck. But he's a playmaker. That's who he is. If you're in a very deep league, for example, I'm in a keeper league where really, like, the best options are about 3% owned guys. That's it. That's as deep as you are. And I can't really pick people up. And at 3% owned, you're talking about the third, fourth liner. So when someone like Rostovic comes out, that's an interesting option, especially if they've got multiple positional eligibility. So that kind of leads me to my next point, is Ryan Hartman at 9% owned. He's a center, left wing, and right wing eligibility. Only 9%, like I said. But in deep leagues, he's worth a look. Only 2 games played, but he has 2 points. So, you know, I think that's, these are the two places where I guess you can find value in very deep leagues on these teams that where they're using rookies. And this is, I think, a new recent development, really, I think, in the NHL, where you're seeing these rookies get a lot of ice time. And maybe they're not getting power play, but the old myth of, hey, you only bring up a rookie when he's playing top power play second line isn't really holding true anymore. Roslovic is playing well. We saw it in San Jose where they've been doing it with Hurdle, Meyer, LeBanc. Like, a lot of guys are getting kind of third line while being rookies, and they're still turning out good.
I would call these guys young guys. Hartman, Hurdle, not rookies.
No, not rookies. Right. Definitely just, you know, young guys. I think I use the word rookie way too lightly, because I use it for guys who are also like 23, 24, but they're just young guys.
Yeah. You want to mention Kevin Hayes, your last pick here?
I scrolled past him. Sorry, Kevin Hayes. yes, 13% owned. Second line with Spooner and Fast. Second power play, in my opinion, is actually very, very good on the Rangers. It's Nemestikov, Kevin Hayes, Jimmy VC, D'Angelo, not high on him, and Ryan Spooner. I actually really, really like that power play. I think Kevin Hayes fits into it really well. So for that reason, at 13% owned, he's another guy who's just extremely lowly owned, and with the Rangers getting younger and getting rid of a lot of guys, you're going to get see Kevin Hayes' kind of deployment get better, and they're also going to look to him to do more because there's less guys around him. So there you go. Those are my suggestions. Sorry, Kevin Hayes. I completely forgot you existed.
All right. I think I've got some good ones here. First up, Brandon Montour, 39% owned on Yahoo. We already mentioned, I consider Anaheim's schedule probably the easiest, even though the Blue Jackets can be tough to play sometimes. Montour is top pairing and top power play, getting around 25 minutes a game now, and that's up from around 18 or 19 for most of the season. He was good there for a while when they had no... they had no Cam Fowler or whoever it was. I think it was Cam. Yeah, Fowler was out, so they were playing Montour and Manson and all these players in more offensive roles. But it seems like Montour is the guy who won out. I think he's due to kind of spark up a little bit, and this weekend's a good weekend to have him.
Yeah.
Next up, Charlie Coyle, 13% on Yahoo. He's seeing more ice time, at least in his last game where he got 18 minutes. Before that, he got like 13 or 14, so I don't know about that, but... he's on second line with Koivu and Parise, and apparently on the top power play. They consider it the top power play. I don't know. It seems like they play the power play two a little more than they're actually playing that line. But either way, he's getting power play time. He has assists in two straight matchups, and I think Minnesota's weekend is not that bad at Colorado and versus Detroit. So a good weekend to give him a shot, considering he's only 13% owned. Even lower owned, and I think actually higher value here, is Nick Bjugstad. 7% on Yahoo, top line, second power play, getting 16 to 18 minutes a game. If you're in a bangers league that counts PIMs, he has at least 2 PIMs in 6 of his last 8, including I think a 5 and a 7 in there somewhere too.
Yep.
He gets a few hits, 1 to 2 a game, pretty consistent with him actually, and decent shot production, getting between 3 and 4 on average, sometimes 2, sometimes 6, but usually he very rarely puts up a goose egg in shots, which is nice.
Yeah,
I think he's a great look, maybe even longer than this next little stretch, but definitely for this weekend, I like him.
I'm thinking of actually picking up Bjugstad if I drop Jake Allen. That's one of the guys I was thinking of picking up if I drop him.
Yeah, and then last here, UC Saros, 13% on Yahoo. I think he's one of the better options for a back-to-back play this weekend. It seems like it's mostly the garbage teams that have... that have back-to-backs where you'd be able to target their backup goalie, so that's not that great. Saros, obviously not garbage. They're playing at Vancouver, which is not ideal. It's not that it's the worst team to play against, but you'd rather it be at home. And Vancouver's been pretty good lately, as we mentioned with Daniel Sedin having a pretty good couple of weeks now. But Saros is posting up a 9.26 on the season. Nashville is one of the deepest teams in the league, hardest to play against. And there's just not going to be very many better goalie starts to pick up if you need a spot start, which I do. So I'm going to have to consider whether I want to make this move myself or just forfeit goalie stats altogether, which is an option.
I guess a lot of it depends too on how I'm doing, since you're battling me for first place. But
it really depends on. I wish that the Anaheim game was earlier tonight so I could like f- figure out whether I need to make a move. Because if Gibson or Miller, I have both right now, if one of them blows the game, then it doesn't matter. I don't need to make the move.
Yep.
I can just forfeit the goalie stats at that point because I'm not going to be able to catch wins or stats at all.
Yeah, so you should just say screw it and leave it to be. Yeah,
zero goalies and all skaters.
Why not? That's totally you. That's a very you team. Okay, moving on to top picks for tonight. For top overall pick, I'm going to say Taylor Hall at Carolina. I'm a big fan of that. It's now 23-game point streak. What the hell? I mean, come on. You got to go with that. Blake Wheeler versus Detroit, who you got in our draft. I got Taylor Hall. Then my last one here, Jonathan Marchessault versus Ottawa. Really like him. I took him in our draft. I think he's going to have a really big game because Ottawa sucks, and he's been playing really, really well. He's on a, I want to say, 6-game point streak, something like that.
I took Connor Hellebuck. I like him a lot tonight versus Detroit. Also, Corey Perry versus the Blue Jackets. He's only 5,700, so he's pretty much a value pick. And then centering him is Ryan Getzlaf. I actually don't like Raquel tonight as much because it seems like they're playing him second power play for some reason. They put Henrique back on the top line. Not sure why they did that, but something to keep an eye on. And then moving into value picks, Nick Bjugstad is an easy one. He's pretty cheap. I don't remember his actual value, but cheaper than it should be versus Buffalo, who should be an easy matchup. Then Brady Shea, and we'll kind of go into Brady Shea versus John Gilmore in a second here. At Calgary, who's probably playing John Gillies, 3,600, really, really cheap. I like Shea's upside. And then lastly, another defender here, Rasmus Ristolainen at Florida, who's tired, and they're going to be playing Reimer, and he's only 5,100. So I really think Ristolainen is probably the best value defenseman that's available.
Yep, I'd agree. Aside from the Ranger defenseman, I think Ristolainen's got to be one of the highest value guys. And then for me on value, all of them are from the Rangers, and that's not homerism. Like I think with how well they've been playing recently and playing a pretty bad Carolina team right now because of Mike Smith's injury, you're looking at some pretty interesting options here, especially for just the value. The prices are so low. So Kevin Hayes is my first one, who I already mentioned at Calgary. He's on the second line, second power play, but his price is ridiculously cheap for what that is and how good those two lines have been. That goes along with Ryan Spooner, who's also second line, second power play, but his price is ridiculously cheap. I mean, he got 3 assists last game. He's been playing really, really well. And that takes me into John Gilmore at Calgary as well, obviously. Top pairing, top power play for the Rangers right now. So he's paired with Brady Shea, but he took over that top power play spot last game. Brady Shea saw barely any power play time, whereas John Gilmore saw the majority of the power play time. He's only 200 more than Shea and gets power play time. So if I were choosing between Shea and Gilmore, I'd easily go Gilmore. But I do, if you think that Shea is going to get the power play time, then I'd go Shea. But I like John Gilmore more. And then for Ryan Spooner, who I already said, just to give a few more notes on him, he's only 4K tonight, which is extremely cheap. He's looking really good. Honestly, you got to go a Ranger stack tonight, I think. At least one lineup has got to be a Ranger stack because they're just so cheap. You could stack the top line if you wanted to. Whoever you're feeling pretty much, you can stack on the Rangers because they're all just so cheap. And Calgary, I think, is always and for a while now has been overestimated, I guess, in value. So like when guys are playing Calgary, they get lower prices because Calgary is seen as good in the pricing models when really they're just not that good recently. So there you go. So there you go. So that's the Friday show. We will be back Monday to preview the playoff week or the first playoff week. And other than that, thanks for listening and have a good weekend.
Yep. No sit start because the weekend is actually pretty varied. I think it's like 9, 8, and 10.
Yeah.
9, 8, 9 maybe.
It's all pretty similar. So
there's no reason to worry about. You shouldn't have to bench more than like a player or two unless you're too stacked on one team. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Do not do that. I hate it when I read Reddit and somebody has like 5 players from the same team. You're just asking for trouble.
Yep. Don't do that.
Anyway, don't do that. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.